According to the three modes of material nature and the work associated with them, the four divisions of human society are created by me. And although I am the creator of this system, you should know that I am the non-doer, being unchanged. Papa. The Lord is the creator of everything. Everything is born from Him. Everything is sustained by Him. And everything after annihilation rests in Him. He is therefore the creator of the four divisions of the social order. Beginning from the intelligent class of men, technically called brahmanas, due to their being situated in the mode of goodness. Next is the administrative class, technically called the kshatriyas, due to their being situated in the mode of passion. The mercantile class, mercantile men, called the vaishyas, are situated in the mixed modes of passion and ignorance. And the shudras, or laborer class, are situated in the mode of ignorance, ignorant mode of nature. In spite of his creating the four divisions of human society, Lord Krishna does not belong to any of these divisions. Because he is not one of the conditioned souls, a section of which form human society. Human society is similar to any other animal society, but to elevate men from the status of animals, the above-mentioned divisions are created by the Lord for the systematic development of Krishna consciousness. The tendency of a particular man toward work is determined by the modes of material nature which he has acquired. Such symptoms of life according to the different modes of material nature are described in chapter 18 of this book. A person in Krishna consciousness, however, is above even the Brahmanas, although Brahmanas by quality are supposed to know about Brahman, the absolute truth. Most of them approach only the impersonal Brahman manifestation of Lord Krishna. But a man who transcends the limited knowledge of a Brahmana and reaches the knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna, becomes a person in Krishna consciousness, or in other words, a Vaishnava. Krishna consciousness includes knowledge of all different plenary expansions of Krishna, namely Ram, Narsimha, Varaha, etc. And as Krishna is transcendental to the system of four divisions of human society, a person in Krishna consciousness is also transcendental to all divisions of human society, whether we consider the divisions of community, nation, or species. So this is Varna Ashram Dharma. The Varnas and the Ashram. The Varnas are different castes. Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. Yeah.
Okay. We're talking about the four classifications of humans.
Yeah.
The material modes.
Yeah.
And we're talking about Brahminical caste, yeah, which is in the mode of goodness, yeah, which is the intellectual class, and yeah. Yeah.
and then the Kshatriyas,
the mode of passion. But I'm feeling more like this is a caste of consciousness, because there's definitely people in this world that are, you know, pot washers that are in the mode of goodness, and there's definitely people in the intellectual class that are in the mode of ignorance and passion. You understand my confusion?
Yeah.
I know.
You're confused. Okay.
And so I was going to try to explain that.
Well, I didn't know you were going to go there.
I actually can't wait to the location. You're in the middle of passion.
I agree.
Yeah. So anyway. Yeah. So the Bhagavad Gita, right? And the whole Vedic culture talks a lot about this ashram system, the varnas, which are the other castes, according to varnas color. Yellow, red, was it blue, something like that, black, some mixed color, brown, blah, blah, blah. And ashram means there's different stages of life, because also it's divided up how you should spend your life. 25 years, you should develop good education, ethical and moral education, especially, philosophical. In 25 years, okay, you're active as a married person, your children, society, family, friends, nation, cows, animals, houses, and business. In 25 years, be your wife, you're relaxing. And finally, 25 years, just as a completely introspective sage, philosopher. Yeah. So this is a whole social, philosophical system. No. And what Krishna is saying is maya shristam, right? Maya by me, shristam, created. Right? So it's like the law of gravity. There's no such thing as the Russian law of gravity, the Portuguese law of gravity, the Zimbabwe law of gravity. It's the same everywhere. You know, you take ice, you put, apply heat, doesn't matter if it's Russian ice, American ice, you get water. You apply more heat, you get steam. You know? So these are laws of nature. Of course, there's a variety of details where you won't get these things. Certain things happen. But in general, these social laws, you know, because of our Western idea of nature, we think that matter is real. And the mind and everything else is product of matter. But no, it's the exact opposite. The mind, these social things are more subtle, more permanent, more durable, like that. And so, because of that, there are certain psychological, social laws. You know? So every place you go, it's very easy to describe this system. You have, you know, intellectual class, an administrative class, mercantile class, laboring class. Oh yeah, I got those here too. You know? Yeah, even the Russians ended up with the same thing. You know, comrade scientist, comrade captain, comrade merchant, comrade, comrade Shudra. You can't avoid it. You know? So Krishna is saying, my ishtam is created by me. These are very substantial things like that. So the Vedas are suggesting this. We're coming in contact with this superior culture from India, from Asia, who has more knowledge of these social relations. The United States is very good at machines. You know Carl Jung? Carl Jung is a Swiss psychologist. He said a German is somebody who would invent suspenders for socks and expect you to thank him. That's just like jars. Harmonium, flute, German, a flute machine. In a very mechanistic, analytical view of reality, and very limited like that and stuff. Yeah. Not a broader intelligence, a very mechanistic intelligence, yeah, so on. So, you know, we have this kind of view in the West, but other cultures are more intelligent. And they can handle these social relationships, live simply, live in harmony with nature. They don't have to have some machines to fight with nature and everything else like that. You know? So this is, in the Vedas, you're going to find a lot of information about this system, about Varna Ashram system. This is a very important thing to learn. This is a very important science, right? And so the Bhagavad Gita, in the beginning, Arjuna has this social problem. Right? It's a social problem. And they've been trying to resolve it for a long time. It's not a physical problem. It's a social problem. It's a civil war. And so finally, all these things have gone back and forth. If you know the Mahabharata, so many things have gone back and forth. And they tried to solve this thing so many ways. You know? And Yudhisthira is always saying that we have to follow the laws of Dharma, the laws of ethics, morality, and righteousness. And, you know, what is finer and finer tests of what is right, what is wrong, what is right, what is wrong. You know? And so finally comes this battle of Kurukshetra, and it gets to the point where it's just so fine that even Arjuna becomes confused about what to do in terms of ordinary ethical dharma and stuff like that. At that point, he surrenders to Krishna, right? Yeah. And he's basing his arguments on Varnashram. We have to protect the women. We can't allow them to become, you know, unprotected by a civil war, and they'll fall into corruption, and we all unwanted progeny, the whole world will go to hell. And so Krishna said, well, you know, you're giving all these quotations about the Shastras, about the Vedas, about these things, and Dvarna, Ashram, Dharma, but your basic principle is wrong. Your basic principle is identifying with the body and for your own selfish gratification. And everything else is going to be wrong after that. Do your duty, your dharma, in this terms of these things, but without attachment. Like that. So that's it's a higher dharma, a paradharma. Without that, you can't understand the varnashram system very well. You can apply it, but you'll just exploit it in so many ways. Over the whole world, over and over again, people are following the rules of their dharma, but they're exploiting it. His internal principle is there. You know, Jesus Christ was dealing with the Pharisee and Sadducee. They're like smarter Brahmins. You know. In the Bible, there's so many things. Do this, do this, do this, do this, do this. So many details of that. And they were doing all, following all the rules and regulations and using those to cheat widows and orphans out of their inheritances and exploit them in so many ways, you know. So he told them, he said, you're like sepulchres, like tombs, right? On the outside, you're whitewashed and clean, but inside, you're full of dead bones and corruption. So the internal essence is what, you know, you're trying to come to that point. From that point of view, then, what is the internal essence? What's the conclusion of Bhagavad Gita? Sarva-dharma, you know, Brahmana-dharma, Kshatriya-dharma, Vaishya-dharma, Brahmacharya-dharma, Sarva-dharma, Paritya-dharma. Right? Mahamekam, Sharanam, Raja. Okay, the garden of power. Shakti. Yeah. Abandon all these things and surrender to me. Surrender to me. And who is Krishna? Teshtam Ivanu Kamparatam. He's in the heart. Right? He'll give you advice. If you surrender to him and pray to him, he'll give you advice. He'll become your friend. He'll guide you how to go through all these things like that. You know? With no selfish motivation. Right? Krishna's everybody's best friend. So if you want to be Krishna's friend, you've got to be everybody's friend. Huh? There's no that is, what's the word, division, no separatist, what we call a separatist. There's no separatist interest. And in that position, then you can understand this Varnashram system, you know, properly, and then you can use it, you know, to organize things in the material world. Right? We're all engaged in a sort of personal relationship with Krishna. We don't need these external psychological material divisions, manifestations, right? 4:13. Yeah? But there's four reasons. I had four reasons why we need them. And then I heard Guru Govinda Maharaj giving a lecture of the same four reasons. So I don't know if he also embedded them or whatever. One, you know, we're not perfect. We are materially attached. Okay, so follow the laws of ethics and morality, and that way you'll be the best situation to make more spiritual progress. Like that. So from the very beginning, Prabhupada established marriage relationship in ISKCON, and he established Brahmacharya Ashram, and he established Sannyas Ashram. You know? Everybody has a position, a function, their rights, and responsibilities, and based upon their guna, their qualities, right? There's your answer. Their qualities and their activities. Somebody is doing something, but what are his qualities? Right? Both considerations like that. Okay, he's very peaceful, he's clean, he's austere, he's knowledgeable, he's intelligent, he has practical knowledge, you know, but he's washing pots. Well, it's kind of an unusual situation or something like that. Okay, he's doing it. So by quality, he's a Shudra. Yeah? But by activity, his karma, he's usually in Shudra position. But by his qualities, his guna, he's Brahma. So you find the Vedas then, there's some kind of description for what's going on like that. You know? He shouldn't be doing that job. It's not proper. You know? No, he should. If it's an emergency or something else like that, okay, he can do it. You know, there was called apad dharma, which is for emergency situations like that. You know? He should be going out telling people what to do. He should be guiding them, getting the whole society going to hell, and he's sitting there washing pots. You know? No, he should go talk to people, tell them how to organize things like that. You know? Yeah? Yeah. So the Brahman is meant for different activities like that. He's peaceful, knowledgeable, intelligent, he's supposed to educate people. It's always a necessity for teachers, you know? For organizing people like that. Yeah? Apad dharma. Yeah. So we have to apply intelligence. That's difficult. Yeah. For example, it's by three modes. One is a Brahmana, a Kshatriya, and a Vaishya. But that's not all there is. You know? Because those three modes are multiplied by three to get nine. Nine by three is 27. 20 by three is 81. So the Vedas get 81 different combinations. You know? For example, you can be a Kshatriya, Shudra, Shudra, Shudra. So what's your position? Kshatriya, Shudra, Shudra, Shudra. in ignorance, bodily concept of life. You become the servant for a general. Right? You have to some. So you appreciate this kind of martial spirit activity, but you can't do it yourself. You get too much just locked into this concept. I am this body. How can I risk my life? Mm-hmm. You know, everything else. I can't develop higher strategical thinking. So you have as your position. You're a servant, but you're serving a general. Somebody else is a Shudra Brahmana Brahmana Brahmana. Okay, he's serving a priest. You know? Somebody else is Shudra Vaishya Vaishya. You know? Yeah. I happen to be, myself, as far as I can figure out, Shudra Brahmana Brahmana Brahmana. And I have no ability in business or management, but I like, you know, manual activity, working, art, that kind of stuff like that. I have to do some. You know? But yeah, by nature, I'm really austere, you know, simple. You know, get up. You know, just, okay. Yeah. So you find your combination, you find your situation, and all the details are given in the Veda and stuff like that. Prabhupada says, here, this, and actually, Chetra Varnya Mayashya's done. Krishna's not even talking about the Varna Ashrama system here. What he's talking about is that he's transcendental to him. And that's the whole message of Bhagavad Gita, really, you know, is to how to get out of this system, you know, as a material system, right? Not to follow materialistically. Because in the Vedas, everybody's following. You know? The Vedas suffer so much information about Varna Ashrama system. So in the Bhagavad Gita, most of the Bhagavad Gita is about the same thing. You know? But what's his conclusion? Fight. Do your duty as a kshatriya. But wait a second, you said I should be transcendental. Again and again and again. Same problem comes up. Because it's so tricky, you know? So again, the thing is, in the beginning he wants to fight the war to regain his wife's honor, right? Because she's his wife and he wants her to be happy with him. My woman's happy with me. Yeah? But Krishna says, yeah, fight the war to regain your wife's honor, but not because she's your wife, right? Because she is my devotee, right? Yeah? So it's a very subtle difference, yeah? But it makes all the difference in the world, like that, yeah? In terms of being integrated into the whole reality like that, you know? Yeah. Krishna wanted the battle, right? Yeah? But he wanted it to have this higher result like that, higher effect. You understand?
I understand. It's just applying that to daily life.
Yes.
I mean, yes. It would be so nice to have Krishna's presence in our lives so we can say, well, Krishna, what do I do?
Okay.
Well, go do this.
Okay.
Hey, no question about it.
Okay.
But in our daily life, I know Krishna's driving the chariot, but yeah. I mean, we don't have the same. We don't feel the same personal relationship that Arjuna had with Krishna. We don't have him right in front of our eyes.
So Prabhupada gives explanation for this also. Yeah. He said, read on. No, actually, right here, if you read this purport, it says, what does it say? Such symptoms of life according to different modes of material nature are described in the 18th chapter of this book. Okay. So this book, we can go to the 18th chapter. But the basic principle is that we're not the body. You know, if we're thinking we are the body, okay, then at least follow the Varnashram system. You won't be completely wrong. You have half a brain in your head, like that. Better than no brain. It's for going from animal to human. So just follow the system with no transcendental knowledge, at least you'll be a human being. You won't be transcendental, but you'll be a human being. Prabhupada says that selling ornaments for the house, jewelry, these kind of things, this is the mode of passion. See, it's not transcendental, but at least it's human. You're being. In South America, it used to be the Plaza de Armas. You have this nice plaza in the center of the little town with church and different things there and some water fountains. And so on Saturday night, you go with your wife, and you're well-dressed, she's well-dressed, your kids have nice clothes on. You're walking around the plaza and there's 6-7 different little places with music playing and cafes having ice cream and, you know, things happening. It's cool in the evening. You see the mayor and, you know, take your hat off and talk to the mayor sometime. He talks to you. You know, yeah. So this, what mode is this? Passion. Yeah. Honor.
As good as it gets.
Prestige. Yeah. Mode of ignorance. Yeah, illicit sex, these kind of things, not passion. That's ignorance. Passion is prestige, honor, respect, like that, fame, that dynasty, you know, like that. from our point of view, it looks pretty elevated. Mode of goodness is you go and you're not even, it's not my wife, it's not my kids, it's not the mayor, it's all people. Hari Bol is Chowri Krishna. That's my austerities. Yeah? Yeah? So at least it's human. Yeah? So, but behind all this, though, is this impression, is this higher impression, be situated in the transcendental platform. Yeah? And Krishna gives so many formulas for that. He gives Buddha Yoga in the beginning, he goes on and on like that. And Lord Chaitanya gives this very practical process. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Yeah, just chant. And you get more impetus to do it, and you'll always be able to stay transcendently situated in different situations like that. And keep half a brain in your head, you know. And then you understand, what should I do? Well, I should read some books. Can't chant all the time, you read some books, or like that. Prabhupada gave us this formula. Get up in the morning, chant Hare Krishna, dance, you know, do your japa, and read when the sun comes up. You know? Let's discuss these things. Get some intelligence. Right? Yeah? So chapter 18, he says, let's go to chapter 18 now, because we want to use this process. What verses are those? Who knows the verses? Who knows the verses? I don't know. Is it written? What if the four ashrams are described? One thing.
It's in the 20s, I think, isn't it?
You know general index? General index?
General index.
Yes, that's the guy. Actually, this is very small. This is not the deluxe edition. The deluxe edition is a big index. It's really small. I cheated here. So you go look under, what is it, castes? Brahmins. Look under one of Brahmins. Use the index. Birth and death.
It's in the 40.
Huh? 18 something.
Well, it's 18, also, the Prabhupada mentioned it was in the 18th.
Okay, description of it.
This is purported. It says, it's further discussed in the 18th chapter.
It says 654, description of.
41.
No, it's not. 18 chapter, and it starts about page number 800. Okay, that's perfectional stage.
41.
Eight,
verse 41. Huh? 41.
Okay, thank you.
8 to 7.
Okay. I would have got it. Okay. Please repeat. Brahmana,
Brahmana,
Kshatriya,
Kshatriya,
Visham,
Visham,
Shudranam,
Shudranam,
Chaparantapa,
Chaparantapa,
Karmani,
Karmani,
Pravibhaktani,
Pravibhaktani,
Swabhava,
Swabhava,
Prabhavair Gunair,
Prabhavair Gunair.
Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Shudras are distinguished by the qualities born of their own nature in accordance with the material modes of nature, or chastiser of the enemy. No? And the Brahmanas. Who knows from memory this verse?
This what?
Next verse.
Who knows this verse? The qualities of Brahmana. You know by memory?
Astikam. Brahma Svabhava.
Okay, yeah, he's a Brahman. See, they know this version of a Brahman. Shama?
Dhamma.
Yeah? Yeah, what does Shama mean?
Shama means peacefulness.
Peacefulness? Okay. Dhamma.
Steadfastness.
Dhamma Ghosh.
Self control.
Dhammadhar. Yeah, control.
Self-control.
Tapa. Okay. Shocham? Okay. Kshanta, Shantahi.
Tolerance.
Arjabam. I don't know if I can sing in Hindi or something.
Honesty.
And Jnana Vigyana. Jnana?
Knowledge.
Okay. Vigyana.
Realization.
Wisdom. That one. Astikam. Astakyam.
Religious principle.
Yeah, religiosity. Yeah. So, peacefulness. Okay, examine yourself. Peacefulness, self-control, austerity, purity, tolerance, honesty, knowledge, wisdom, and religiousness. These are the natural qualities by which the Brahmanas work. And what are the qualities for the Kshatriya? Saryam, Tejo, Dhritir, Daksham. Heroism, power, determination, resourcefulness, courage in battle, generosity, and leadership are the natural qualities of the Kshatriyas. Kri go raksha vanijam. And the sutras and devices only get half a verse each. Farming, cow protection, business are the natural work for the Vaishyas. And for the Shudras are labor and service to others. By following his qualities of work, every man can become perfect. Now please hear from me how this can be done. I worship the Supreme Lord, which Supreme Lord? Who is the source of all beings? Garbhaksha Vishnu, Shudraksha Vishnu. And it was all pervading, Paramatma. A man can attain perfection through performance of his own work. It is better to engage in one's own occupation, even though one may perform it imperfectly, than to accept another's occupation and perform it perfectly. Duties prescribed according to one's nature are never affected by simple reactions. So very subtle. This is how to live in this world. Right? Like a prison guard. He lives in the prison. Right? But he understands all the rules, how to live there properly without creating any kind of reaction. Very well trained, how to deal with different situations, how to show his security, things like that. So if you want to work in the prison, you've got to be trained very specially how to go in there, how to deal with situations like that. And so devotees who are preaching, you've got to go out in the world, but you've got to know, how to deal with situations, how to deal with people like that, different kinds of responses. I remember when I was becoming a devotee, I was reading this and understand a little bit about it, and I was going to work, and I realized that our supervisor for our shift, I was working for Master Charge in the banking industry, and this guy was in charge of all of us, and he would drink a 6-pack of Dr. Pepper. This is something on soft drink with a little bit of caffeine in that every 8 hours like that, And so he was like, I know, he said, hey, this guy's in the mode of passion. You see, wow, there's an example of someone in the mode of passion. So, full of unlimited hankerings and desires and prestige, They were going to take part of the space of his section like that. So he had us all of us move our desks 6 inches apart so that he took up more space. So he could prove to them there was no space in the room like that. He couldn't take away his room like that. So somehow he knew I was a devotee, and I gave him a Maha Mantra card. So I was using the telephone one time at the superintendent's desk, and literally it was taped onto the adding machine like that. We're using it for stress reduction. Like that. Stress reduction. So Prabhupada gives. Actually, Prabhupada doesn't give you a purport. But then it's described in more and more detail. But the thing is, you chant Hare Krishna, then Krishna will give you intelligence to appreciate these things and how to react to these situations normally. But also we develop our intelligence. And so in the very nice summary of all this is in the instructions by Vishnudeva to Yudhisthira. In the first two cantos, you find a lot of information about this, talking about this. But there's not really many stories showing it. In some degrees, there's stories always, everything, Kunti, every place, there's stories giving us more and more examples. Of how this actually works. Intelligent person, you can understand this by theory. Everything's analyzed like that. Very good intelligence, fine intelligence, put everything in its category. But us rubber-headed modern people in the United States of America, very difficult. So we need stories like that to understand. And so all through the Bhagavatam is full of stories. The pregnancy of Diti in the evening. Kardama and Devahuti. So many stories about Sri Dharma, about Kshatriya Dharma, Vaishya Dharma. And you go on hearing these things, they enter into your heart. And so then this is like that. So you develop a very natural, practical intelligence based upon stories. And you can deal with all these situations in a very fine fashion like that. So in the disappearance of Bhishmadeva, he's there on the bed of arrows like that, full of the pincushion lying there, full of arrows. But he's suffering, but he's not going to die. He's waiting for the right time to make sure he goes to heaven. So he's there for quite some time, maybe a couple months or something. So finally then, it's coming time for him to leave, and Krishna goes and sees him. Says you're going to be leaving in about, I forget what it is, 37 more days or 7 more days, something like that. And before you go, I want you to instruct Yudhisthira in political science, social sciences. Because you know you're going to take all this knowledge with you. There's never been anybody more knowledgeable than you about all these things. Now you're going to go and take all this knowledge with you. So you should instruct Yudhisthira. And then in the Bhagavatam, it's just two verses. It just says that then Yudhisthira asked him, and Bhishmadeva talked about Varnashram, he talked about Sri Dharma, he talked about liberation. That's it. But in the purports, then Prabhupada mentions that in the Mahabharata, this is a longer section starting with the 20th chapter or something of the Shanti Parva, after the battle. And then he summarizes. And somehow he presents, you know, basic moral things. Only have children by your legitimate wife, share wealth equally, don't become angry, protect subordinates. Because I think it's eight principles. Without these, you're not even a human being. Yeah, okay. If you do those, you're a human being. And after that, he says there's specific qualifications that have to be acquired by the different castes and orders. For the Brahmanas, the most important thing is sense control. And that one should be restraining sexual activities even in his own married life like that. Okay? Second thing is he should study the Vedas. High parentage is wasted, and that's what makes it actually a very serious study of the Vedas like that. Yeah. And he says the Brahmanas are meant to study all the Dharma Shastras and everything else to guide the Kshatriyas. Specifically, he mentions the Manu Samhita and Parashara's Dharma Shastra. Okay. So I went looking for that. At the University of California Library, they have eight campuses, I don't know, something like about 20 million books. That's a lot of books, Baba. Yeah. And so the one campus had to be a million books at Berkeley. So I was looking for Parashara's Dharma Shastra on the computer. Came back, and they went there, Hindi. That's Sanskrit. So it's getting more and more difficult. So finally, when I got some librarians involved, this is very boring. This is like exciting. And you could use all their library science knowledge, and you were getting others involved and researching. You're going to give up the computers and look at these wooden cases. What wooden cases actually a crackage made? And you pulled things out. And it was an index of PhD thesis. And then finally, we got it. Okay. It's in the law library. So I went over to Bolt Hall Law Library and went back there and all these law books and back and back and back and find the back stacks with cement, cement walls and one bookcase of Hindu law, So I'm going down and I found it. Well, there it is. Parashara's Dharma Shastra translated in 1899 by the Theological Society, the Asiatic Society in Calcutta. Pulled it out and somewhere over here in the wall, the cement wall, this door opened. This guy came up and he said, "Oh, do you read Sanskrit?" And I said, "Well, a little." He said, "So do I." And he disappeared like that. That's the way he was. German guy. So anyway, I read it. And Parashara says, in the Kali Yuga, it's really difficult to make up all these rules and regulations about how to deal with people, what to do, with that, because everything is so confused. But here's some things. Some things are very practical for our life in ISKCON. And he says, okay, he's pointing at himself. He says, now, one sadhaka, totally dedicated to spiritual life, can make practical decisions about these things. What should happen? Is remarriage permitted? Who should be punished like this and that? If the mayor is caught in an illicit relationship with the barber's wife, what should happen? He says, one sadhaka, totally dedicated to spiritual life, can do that. So Krishna or Prabhupada. And people went to Prabhupada. He would say, do this or that, isn't that? He wouldn't be wrong. It's true. He says, in the absence of such a person, a synod. What's a synod? A synod is a gaggle of geese, a pride of lions, a herd of elephants, a coven of witches, a covey of quails, and a synod of Brahmins. A synod of Brahmins, six Brahmins, can come to the same conclusion. So you get six good devotees together at one time, which is very difficult. But you get them all together and talk about some complicated problem. Everybody goes around, and finally you come to a really clear consensus. Everybody says, yeah, that's what we should do. Yeah, it's clear. Okay, so there's your solution. My Brahmana portion here is like, I read the Shastras, I found giving advice to the Kshatriyas, the guys in the mode of passion. Yeah. So, these things exist, these scriptures. But back to Bhishma Dev, okay. As the Brahmanas should study the Parashara Dharma Shastra, the Kshatriyas should They should give charity, and they should not accept charity in any circumstances. They should control people, direct them, but they should also take care of them. Two sides of the same coin, like that. Vaishya should increase the production of grains, food, like that, and take care of the animals. And then they should serve other people like that in a practical way. And by this way, be taken care of very nicely. You know? Sri Dharma. Ladies, chastity, shyness. He goes through all these things. So those two purports is a fantastic summary of the whole thing with more detail like that. And you read that, it's just almost every sentence is like, you know, with some catastrophe we had in this going, I just read this one sentence. For example, Gurukula, the Brahmacharya training, is for the attached and detached. So one of our biggest things that I've heard from Gurukula teachers who were there in the beginning was, we thought all the children of devotees are all going to be sannyasis. They're all going to be saints. You know, some of them are demons. But yeah, Gurukula, everybody's here, you know. Okay, my son's a demon. Okay, give him an education so he can become a lawyer. Okay, no problem. Then he won't cause big problems in society. Yeah? Yeah? Other boys like this. Yeah? We tried to force all these kids to be, you know, saints, sannyasis. It wasn't in nature always. Yeah? Okay, Gurukula is there for everybody. 20 people according to natures and abilities like that. So that then I was looking for the original Vishnu Stuti, because now we're trying to organize conferences on this in South America. It's very practical. Society is so confused in many places like that. We don't know what to do, how to organize things, how to engage. And, you know, first thing you have Brahmins. He talks about this many times with priests. He said to priests, he says, hey, you know, let's not talk about religion, God, all these things. Let's talk about good men. Unless you have good men, everyone knows what a good man is. He doesn't smoke, he doesn't drink, doesn't lie, he doesn't cheat people. He's intelligent, he knows what to do. Yeah, that's a fact. So you've got to have Brahmanas. Yeah? And they take their knowledge by hearing from the bona fide Shastras. Then they can guide the Kshatriyas. They can get everybody else engaged, that's it. And once you have Brahmanas and Kshatriyas, society pretty much is established like that. Yeah? Intelligence and management. Yeah? So Prabhupada talks about Brahman class. And we have a whole, if you go read Prabhupada's books, I would say there's more about Daivi Garna Ashram Dharma in Prabhupada's books than there is about Bhakti Yoga, Srimad Bhagavatam. So many descriptions about these things again and again and again and again. So many subtle things, subtle stories, you know, about people in certain physical conditions, psychological conditions, situations, and how they're able to connect this to spiritual life or not connect it. Yeah? Right? I'll tell you a story. Once upon a time, in a parallel universe, ISKCON, Warp World 5, very similar. There's an ISKCON Houston, there's an ISKCON Vancouver there. There was a boy and a girl. Krishnadas and Dharma. Okay. And they grew up in the Gurukula, things like that, ISKCON. So they got married, so kind of arranged like that, and they went out to the prairies in Canada. Had a preaching center in Calgary, somewhere like that, and every day Krishnadas would go out and distribute books, meet people preaching, you know, very hard, austere thing. And Dharma would stay in the center, keep everything clean, preaching. When the people would come, she'd take care of them, get prasad. So they went on, a young couple for a long time, and after some time, about maybe 5 years, 4 years, they decided to go back for the Rathi Yatra Festival in Vancouver. Every year it's there. There's a temple up in the hills. Several apartments belong to the temple. Down in between is a very nice big grassy area. So a lot of the devotees come and have tents there, and they stay from Rathi Yatra to Janmashtami. It's beautiful weather. So they came back, set up their tent, they were there. And then Krishnadas was going out every day with Duty Dharma Raj and bring, you know, Harinam Sankirtan with the devotees for advertising the Rathi Yatra. And so then Dharma was there, and she saw all of her old Gurukula friends, and they all had babies. Brown babies, yellow babies, red babies, white babies, no green babies. And they all said, oh, where's your baby? And she said, oh, I don't have one. You know, want to hold my baby? No, it's okay. So that night, when Krishnadas came back to the tent, Dharma was ready for him. You don't love me, you never loved me, you only married me because your spiritual master forced you to do it. We're never going to have any children. I do love you, we will have children. No, we won't, you're just saying that. I do. Prove it. Right now. So, they got pregnant. Sunset had a couple horrible twins for kids. glorious rising of the devotees. This is the story from the third canto. Who are they? Who are they?
Kardamuni and...
Yeah, Kardamuni and Devahuti, you know. Kardamuni and Devahuti. It's the same story that's translated into our modern world. And hopefully at the last moment there, Dharma suddenly realizes, hey, wait a second. This is just like the story of people. What? Hold it! I changed my mind. You know, yeah? So we can avoid all those problems. But it's a very subtle problem because she wasn't lusty to enjoy gross sense gratification. Her feelings were a little hurt, right? That feeling like, you know, I'm also a very good girl and chaste, but why haven't I got a child like that, you know? Mm-hmm. And so it's a very subtle problem. But it's there. Nice description of this Varna-ashram relationship, Daivi Varna-ashram. Yeah? So many stories of Bhagavatam like that. So finally, I got a translation here of the Mahabharata. I found it in Spanish. In Spanish, it's about maybe 10 pages, 12 pages. Sometimes you wonder if these things are actually bona fide or not. But I found the Spanish translation. The page number was 1,108. So, okay.
Definitely a sign.
So it's there. So it probably gives about 3 pages, and the Spanish translation is a 2-volume Mahabharata. It's about maybe like about 10, 15 pages. In more detail. It's interesting. And then so finally you got the translation here of the whole Mahabharata. It looks like it's a whole translation like that. And looking at the Shantiparva, it starts here, appears to go here. My God, it's 350 pages. And so it's there, but you have to kind of like modernize. You got to go through and read it and maybe go back to Sanskrit and study it, you know? Because it's a great science, political science. Yes, you can get your PhD in this. You can understand all these details, all these intricacies. You know, Chanakya Pandit, one of the greatest philosophers of all these things. Chanakya Pandit, right? The most astute politician who ever lived. And you told me this, what Tamakras Marsh told you. Prabhu said, and a mind body. It's a mind body. But he was the greatest politician who ever lived. And he once said, he says, kings, royalty, are like snakes, like serpents, but they can be controlled by good advice. So this is the Brahmana's power. He's more intelligent than the Kshatriya. One example, we'll stop here. Chandragupta, right? There's this movie, Alexander the Great. I saw like this 2 minutes or something like that. Somebody was playing it. And what they were showing actually was when Alexander actually came to India. And somewhere they came in just at that point. And he met some king on an elephant, kind of evil-looking kind of guy in some ways, and powerful, and was defeated. And that was probably Chandragupta like that. You know. So, who was his advisor?
Chanakya Pandit.
So he stopped Alexander. So, famous story. One time, Chandragupta, he was fighting with some rival king over some piece of land like this and that. This kind of like rivalry and nothing really too serious about it in the summer. But it was, it was Kshatriya rival. And so they kept passing back and forth. Sometimes Chandragupta would own this valley. Sometimes the king of Pakistan would own it, whatever it was like that. Sindh, Kandahar. And so that was kind of their, their contention. So at one point, his rival king owned it. And an emissary came from the rival king and said, "Oh, Maharaj Chandragupta, you're like the second moon, this and that. And my master, he no longer wants to fight with you. He wants to make some peace and live peacefully. So he's giving this valley to you, giving the valley to you without any kind of fight. And even to show his love and affection for you, he built a beautiful little palace there for you as a gift. So please come and accept this." So Chandragupta went there with some soldiers, and sure enough, there's no enemy soldiers in the valley. They've all retreated, and it's peaceful. People are doing their farming and everything else. Yeah, it's a beautiful little fairy palace there. So wonderful, you know. So Chandragupta is looking at the whole thing and thinking, wow, this is very nice. He's telling Chanakya Pandit, he says, wow, down in Delhi it's so hot right now. Let's bring all the queens here, the ministers. This will just run the government from up here. It's very pleasant. This palace is very nice. So beautiful. What do you think? And Chanakya Pandit says, burn it down. And Chandragupta is a little tap. He's a passionate guy. He says, what do you mean burn it down? Like that. And so Chanakya Pandit says, you don't want my advice? And he comes with intention. Because three things go to a swift destruction. Trees in the bank of a river, a lady in the house of some man other than her husband, and a king without counselors. These three things go to a swift destruction. So Chanakya Dhanagupta is intelligent to know this. He says, no, yeah, it's okay. We'll burn it down.
Burn it down.
Yeah, I just don't look.
They put all into the ground. There's smoking ruins and staircases and, you know, stone walls left. So they go inside and walking around. Chandragupta's thinking, well, such a nice palace. I liked it. Chandragupta, why did we burn down the palace? She might tell me. And Chandragupta says, ants. So Chandragupta says, what do you mean ants? What are ants? Chandragupta says, okay, look. Have your soldiers take their spears and pry up this floor stone over here. Let's pry it up. So they pry it up and lift it up, and underneath there's a little room. With no entrance, nothing. You can't find any way to, you know, get into this place if that was sealed. And there's some water and some, you know, some dry grains and stuff to eat like that. And about six soldiers who suffocated to death in the fire with armor and razor-sharp swords and a stairway that goes right up to the king's bedroom and a very thin wall. So then, you know, Chandragupta realizes the whole thing was a trap. He's sleeping very comfortably in his pajamas with his favorite queen, and suddenly the wall smashes open, out comes six soldiers, no matter how good he is, you know, guys in armor with razor-sharp swords, he's finished, he's chopped and hacked to pieces. Queen probably too. So he's like, you know, how did you know? And Chandragupta says, ants. What do you mean, ants, man? He said, when you were looking at this fairy palace, I was thinking, you know, my competitor, counselor for my competitor, your competitor king, my competitor, his counselor is not a fool, you know, fool. So I was looking, and I saw ants carrying little pieces of food like that across the floor. And I'm wondering, where are ants getting food in an unoccupied palace? And I can understand, oh, there are people hidden here like that. Ah, like that. Jaw. Brahman counselor is key.
Yeah. Right.
So when the Brahmanas are Samadhamma Taposocham Shantra Arjun Evam Cha Gyanavijnanam Astikam, when they're like this, right, they can understand things very clearly, have good intelligence, good insight, good perception, good integration of the super soul. And they can see all these things. So they become the natural protectors for the kings. They protect the kings, right? In their own passion. And the kings listen to them. Otherwise, you don't have to do anything. They go to a swift destruction by their own stupidity, right? Yeah? So this whole Varnashram system, right? It's probably said half of my duty was book distribution, not getting it going. The other half is the Varnashram system. So if I understand it, you know, scientifically, this little summary here tonight like that. But Bhagavad Gita is talking about it a little bit, but the idea is, yeah, use it, you know? Use it for Krishna. So most of the focus of Bhagavad Gita is, who is Krishna? How is Krishna described here? You just read that in this verse. By worshipping the Supreme Lord who is the source of all beings, Bhutadim, and all pervasive. So is that Krishna?
Can be.
Kind of. Actually,
because no. Ultimately it all comes from him, even though...
Vrindabhana Parityaja Ekapana. Okay, it's his expansion. Yeah. So Bhagavad Gita really doesn't go above Paramatma, really. It talks about Somyabhapu, Chetra, Bhuja, very quick, just like that. But really it's focusing on Paramatma. Yeah. And if you understand Paramatma, then pretty much you're transcendentally situated. It'll take you out of the world, take you out of this world. Yeah. So you follow your Varnashram system, you can become in contact with the Paramatma. And then there's no anxiety, no death, everything else. And it's very easy then to see the problems, you know, your spiritual problems, see them very clearly, and just start cleaning your soul, yeah? Like that. Varnashram ki? Any questions? Comments? Complaints? Ants.
This question is asked in terms of time. I'm still asking one more time. Like, we all live in mixed modes of nature.
Usually.
Similarly, we are, as per Prabhupada, we are all born as Sudras. We still do some Brahminical duty, some Vaishya duty, some Sudra duty. So how can you say, what is my prescribed duty?
Yeah. If you don't know what your prescribed duty is, you are a Sudra.
To be accepted.
If you have some intuitive sense, you're a Kshatriya. A Brahman, he can understand, he reads these things and see, oh, okay, yeah, I'm like this, I'm like that. Basically, our process is chant Hare Krishna, you know? And if you do that, then for some time you can get in Shuddha Sattva, you can get a very pure position, you can see like who you are, because you're detached, you know? This is who I am, this is my nature. And so, in college, you have these inventories, these tests you have to take, like occupational thing, and so, you know, you come out, that gave me one analysis, then Palm was reading my hand, you know, and you read the books, okay, this is like that, this is like that, this is like that. And you see your activities, what kind of things you do, your nature, like that. You know, some people are totally unanimated, let's say, have an association with the opposite sex. It's, you know, it's like, okay, so I'm a grihastha. And I can protect people, I can raise family, I feel like I'm useful, you know? Somebody else, when there's an association with the opposite sex, they can't function. It's okay, brahmachari. I'm a trainee, you know? Yeah, so it's just kind of it's obvious, you know? You go on after a while, you begin to figure out, like, you know, I tried being temple president. It was a catastrophe for everybody. Everybody. So it's not your job, like that. But one thing, I'm too idealistic. Right? Temple president is pragmatic. Kind of get the job done. You know, at the end of the day, things are 80% correct. Okay, forget it. Take prasad and Hare Krishna. I mean, 100% perfect, you know. That's possible in an idealistic fashion. Right? So you go ahead and just chant Hare Krishna and engage in devotional service, and somebody becomes kind of obvious, you know, like that. Yeah.
What is present day and age? I mean, varnasrama system is hardly followed, right? I mean,
no, because the beginning level, the most basic level, essential level is grihastha ashram. The shudras, they right away they get some occupational skill, they learn how to do something, and they go to work. And then they pretty quick, by the time 18 years old, they can take care of a family. They can fix any car in the world. Yeah? Like that. Yeah? Okay. Very happy artisan. Yeah? So what? Get married. So they don't follow brahmacharya, you know, for a long time. They don't take vanaprasa, they always stay with their family. They don't take sannyas. But so unless you have a marriage institution, it's not a human civilization. It's animal civilization. And we see that, no? You can analyze it, what's happening. And so this marriage institution is a basic level of being a civilized human being. You know, having relations with the opposite sex in a controlled fashion, and then begin to appreciate finer qualities of personal relationships, taking care of your children, your parents. You know? And then the next level is brahmacharya. So the Vaishyas, they follow brahmacharya and, grihastha ashram. Sometimes they go austerity. It's a little higher education. And then the kshatriyas, they take vanaprasa, but they always stay with their wives, usually. And the vyastras, like the Sita Ram. Yeah. And the brahmanas, they go through the whole thing. Like that. Yeah. So we hear, it's hardly possible. We're becoming degraded down to the level of animals. When I was a child in the United States of America, there was still I remember one of my aunts, her husband had died, so she was wearing black. You know, widows used to wear black, and they wear white, you know. And they wear black. And everybody was respectful to them. Everybody would give them help them like that, emotionally and everything else. And so we go to San Francisco, it was cultured. And if, for example, my father met a lady he knew in the street, he would tip his hat to her like that, and some pranams like that. If he stopped and talked to her for some time, he'd take his hat off like that. Because ladies were respectable, and they acted respectably. You know, they were respectable in their characters and their habits like that. So even in the United States of America, there's like, you know, appreciation for different roles and things like that. But again, this is a whole society becoming animals. They don't know how to relate as human beings. So by chanting Hare Krishna, you can begin to appreciate. Somebody asked Prabhupada, Westerners are all like less than Shudras, right, Prabhupada? Prabhupada said, yes. He said, but there are tendencies. There are Brahminical dogs, like that. You can see some dog, like Pekingese or something. More intelligent, you know, some dog. Other dogs, like German Shepherd, passionate dog. Yeah? Yeah? So therefore we do these duties. You know, Johnny Voss, Prabhupada was trying to explain the puja to Johnny Voss one time in the beginning in Mayapur. And he couldn't understand it exactly. He said, Prabhupada, I'm supposed to do this first, and then that, and then this? And Prabhupada said, just offer everything to me and I'll take care of it. Like that. So yeah, we have a simplified puja. There's a whole puja you're supposed to do before you go into the... You're supposed to worship the door guard. There's a guy that guards the door to the altar. You're supposed to do this whole puja, draw lines on the floor, this everything, everything else, before you go into the deity room like that. Yeah. And so Prabhupada says basically just touch your head, just bow your head and touch your head like that, and say, Hari Bol, you know. So he knows you're not going to do mischief, you're going in there to serve Krishna. So you listen, serve Hare Krishna, you know, some simple prayers. But other than that, well, Brahman, he knows these things, and there's an effect. You know? Krishna's helping us, you know. But in the future we should know Vasti, right? We should know what else, Dhanurve, we should know the puja, we should know Jyotish, yeah. This is a horrible time for worshiping the deities. The food you offer to them now is contaminated, is as good as trash because of the astrology. And for example, you don't offer food to the deities during a solar eclipse because it's all contaminated. You cover their eyes with cloth and there's no food, no deity worship. Yeah? Like that. Yeah? So that every year in big temples, like in Jayapur, there's a calendar committee. They go through the whole calendar for the year. And the Mangalarti changes like maybe by 2-3 minutes. You know, this is probably in the beginning. He said that Mangalarti should be, you know, 96 minutes before sunrise. And then later on, he just fixed it as one time like that because we couldn't, you know, calculate it a long time and stuff. But yes, it should be a certain time, different effect. You know? Yeah. So hopefully, if we follow this, and if we're good fathers and mothers and, you know, following the system, the second generation will be a little bit more intelligent than us, you know. And then the third generation will be traveling on flying carpets. Like that, you know? Yeah. Okay. It's a multi-generational project. ISKCON key.
Yeah.
ISKCON Vaishnava Vrinda key. The public key. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Swami.
One time in 7 years. I got my target.
Yeah, you know, practice makes perfect, man.
Keep chanting every day.
Practice makes perfect. Okay, push the button. Then.